Welcome to Be All You Are, a midlife awakening podcast. I'm your host, Kaina Paranjape. I'm a former corporate executive, two-time entrepreneur, and mama. I've worked with and partnered with major brands and even helped a celebrity launch an award-winning business. But I also believe that who we are is not just reflected on our LinkedIn profile. When I was 30, my husband became suddenly critically ill, and after 8 years of living with a difficult illness, he passed away. This experience taught me that we need to claim our dreams now, embrace all we are, and create an amazing life along the way. Today, I help women like you navigate through change and transition to their next level of freedom and fulfillment, whatever that looks like for you. This podcast is all about stepping into all you are. It's about reconnecting to your inner voice so you can hear the whispers of your deepest dreams and cultivate the courage and a plan to create the life that is waiting for you. Now head out on that solo walk or settle into a cozy spot with a favorite beverage and join me. Well, hello, beautiful friends. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. I know that it has been a bit spotty lately in terms of how I've been dropping these episodes, and it may remain spotty for a little bit longer. I am actually headed out in less than a week on a three-week trip to India with my family. And so I am bringing my podcast mic with me. I will have my laptop with me, but I'm really going to allow India to let me know when it is time to share a podcast over the next 3 weeks. Really, I guess a month, because this episode will drop this week. And so I may be sharing something with you via this podcast in the next month, or I may not. But please know that I am coming back. And maybe you'll hear from me sooner than you think. This trip to India is really meaningful for me because it has been over 10 years since I have visited India. The last time I went to India, my husband was very ill. It was a very difficult, challenging time. I was very overwhelmed. I was struggling. I was burnt out. I was lost. And my mom basically said, "You need a break. Come with me to India. Let's just go." And I had a beautiful experience while I was there, but it was very much me escaping from something. And it was all waiting for me when I came back. And so to be heading out on this trip with my mom, who's already there, my sister — I have one sister and she's very dear to me — so my younger sister, her partner, and our two daughters, my daughter Nova, who's 8, and my niece, who's 5, to be heading out on this trip together feels very blessed and very meaningful. And I'm really, really looking forward to just being and seeing what India has to share with me. And that's sort of the message I wanted to give you as we come upon this holiday season. As I record this, it's December 17th. Hopefully it will drop tomorrow on December 18th. And I know we are going into a very busy time. And I know that for some of you listening, this is a beautiful time of year with a lot to look forward to. For some of you, it may be a difficult time of year because of something that you're going through right now. Or it could be that things have changed in your life and it feels challenging because you're adjusting to those changes. So wherever you are, I want to remind you that you get to choose how you want to experience the next few weeks. You get to choose what feels good, what doesn't feel good. What are you going to say yes to? What are you going to say no to? What are you going to do because it brings you joy and pleasure over some kind of commitment or responsibility, or, "Well, I have to do this"? Bring awareness to how you are approaching all the things you need to do. If there is a have to sort of vibe behind it, maybe you don't do it this year. And one of the things that I shared on a call today was this idea of being in the movie of your life over the next few weeks. allowing yourself to be the main character in the movie of your life over the next few weeks instead of just feeling like you're doing the things that you're supposed to do to get through these next few weeks. So I want to leave you with that. And before I start today's episode and introduce you to my guest this week, I want to share with you something that I have been working on for several months that really came out of a desire to create something that I felt was needed based on the conversations I've been having, based on attending so many different events. And that is my new membership community called Supernova. So Supernova is the membership for women above the age of 35 who are ready to step into their next era. This membership is all about bathing in possibility, about creating from the foundation of who we are and what we have, but not allowing our past experience to limit us. It's really leveraging it, but not limiting. And what I want us to do is truly create our lives from this place of experience and wisdom and reframing the maybe the thoughts and beliefs that have held us back in the past, reframing those, working on those so that we can be more free to be ourselves, more free to create the life that we want. And I launched this community, I shared in my last episode, I launched this community in late August, early September. We are now at over 50 members. There are incredible women in this group, both professionals, some of them are entrepreneurs, all impressive in their own right, but that's not what brings them to Supernova. What brings them to Supernova is where they are going. And I am so bent on changing the conversation around women in midlife and what is possible for us. So please come and learn more about Supernova. You can apply to join us. You just head over to allyouare.ca/supernova. And you can read all about it, what the offering is inside. You can learn more about the women. You can learn about the Wisdom Council that I've created that includes more experienced women who are mentoring inside the community. So to learn more about that, just head over to allyouare.ca/supernova. And now let's begin with our interview with my guest. So my guest today, I actually met her in a program that I was in. It was sort of like I feel like I did go to business school. I have my MBA, but it was sort of like business school 2.0. And it was a very intense year-long investment in understanding this new business that I'm in. And I highly believe, I always say like coaches need coaches, mentors need mentors, right? We all need to be guided and support to get to our next level. So within this program, I met Lori Ann Spagna. And it's funny because I was instantly drawn to Lori because in any conversation, and this program was very sort of masculine energy, right? It was a lot about strategies and tactics, which I wanted to learn. But Lori always brought this element of feminine energy and really a focus on energetically feeling aligned with what you want to create. And when there is resistance, where is that resistance coming from? And understanding energetically where that resistance is coming from. So I found myself really drawn to Lori, really taking in whenever she would share in the group, which was quite often. And I feel that everyone in the group felt the same. It was almost like this perfect balance of the strategy and tactics, but also this understanding that we are each on our own soul's path, right? So if we are to just take some blueprint, some strategy, and throw it on top of the unique journey that we're on, it's not going to work, right? Like what worked for one person isn't going to work for someone else. And I intuitively believe that. However, it was really nice to hear that point of view reflected back to me. So Lori Ann Spagna is just an incredible spiritual being who radiates love. And she's also an author. She's a speaker. She's a intuitive, multidimensional channel. She's a mentor. She is an animal communicator, an energy healer. She is a source of the kind of information that you need to hear through someone like her. And I don't want to say too much more. I want you to dive in to this interview. And I called this episode Claiming Your Inner Authority because there is a part of the conversation with Lori where we talk a lot about the fact that we have outsourced our power, we've outsourced our authority to the external world, and we've forgotten how powerful we actually are. So this episode is called Claiming Your Inner Authority, and that is, I think, a beautiful way to close off this year and to step into 2025, claiming your inner authority. Thank you so much for joining me. Let's dive in. Welcome, Lori, to the podcast.
Hello, Kina. Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here with you.
I am so, so happy to have you. And I honestly have been looking forward to this all day. I love every single time that we've connected. I feel like I've always felt, I don't know, more full in some way after we connect. And so as much as I'm recording this for, you know, my listeners and people who are tuning in, I feel like it's equally for me. So thank you for being here.
Oh, that makes me so happy to hear. I love that you said that. I feel the same way. How about you?
Well, Lori, I mean, you have had such an interesting past and the work you do today is so powerful. And I would love to just, you know, clearly it's not there's no traditional path leading to the work you do. So I would just love to hear about your journey to what you do today.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, it started, you know, depending on how far back you want to go, you know, I was your average person who went to college and got into corporate America. And I spent almost 20 years in corporate America, miserable, slave driver, hamster wheel of life, miserable. And everything was going wrong. My thyroid was off. My hair was falling out. I was excessively spending on credit cards, bad debt, excessively sexing, excessively eating, excessively overweight, excessively drinking, going to doctors for help. And they were pumping me up with, you know, massive big pharma drugs and on and on. I mean, I could go on and on. And what ended up happening was my brother died of an unexpected drug overdose. And I started getting messages from him. And it took me about a year to work with that, to realize like I wasn't making it up. It was real. Mm-hmm. Like he wasn't dead. And so I started very soon after that, just following and listening to messages from not only him as guidance, but also other beings in the non-physical. A lot of them were loved ones who had transitioned, but other so-called dead people mm-hmm. who somehow were teaching me. And then very quickly after that, I started getting messages from animals and especially dogs. It started with dogs mm-hmm. and they were teaching me and they were saying, you know, you listen to us and we're going to teach you. Mm-hmm. And I just started working with that. It took a lot of years, but then I got into like esoteric practices, like energy healing. And I got into so many different kinds of learning how to utilize energy and work with energy. And through that, I just started navigating reality from a whole new way. But I will say that within 2 years of all that happening, you know, cigarettes went away forever. And I was like 2 packs a day for 20 years, couldn't quit. Cigarettes were gone forever. Alcohol gone forever. Not because I just didn't need it, have any desire for it or want it. No, big pharma gone for, never touched it since. That was over 20 years ago. In fact, no over-the-counter drugs either in over 20 years. Not even a doctor visit for me or my animals, not needed one. You know, most of the weight dropped off. That still sometimes fluctuates, but overall I dropped like 60 pounds of body weight. Mm-hmm. My hair, I healed my thyroid, my hair grew in. So I healed myself, you know, and I that's when I started getting into my business. Like I started a business based on really helping people and animals reclaim the magnificence of who we are, the truth of who we are, the divinity of who we are, and to reveal to ourselves our brilliance, our magnificence, and to come into alignment with what I call source energy, the original source, right? You call it creator, you call it God, you call it spirit, mm-hmm. but you could call it the quantum field. But it is the true essence of the divinity that we are. And in that and through that process, I'm just helping people to access their intuitive abilities, to learn how to utilize energy and to apply it in all areas of their life so they can make the impact they want to make and so they can live in accordance with their highest fulfillment.
So beautiful. Before we get more into the work you do now, I'm curious when you started to realize that you have this gift, or maybe you would describe it differently, but when you started to realize you were receiving these messages, I'm sure at first there was a bit of resistance around it. It was like sort of second guessing it. But then how did you go from receiving them to opening up to, you know, integrate them and receive more? I feel like there's a window between you first realizing, oh, I'm receiving messages, to now being able to do this work. But that whole process, that unfolding between then and now, what was that like to like give yourself space to explore that?
Yeah. Well, the first year that started happening, right after my brother's death or his transition, I was living in Los Angeles at that time. So that year I was kind of like job hopping because his first thing was like, you got to change your ways. Like you're going down the same path as me and you don't even realize it because you think just because you're not doing hard drugs. But I was drinking like every day. So that first year I was just sort of like moving through life in LA, following whatever I heard like that I could identify as him. And I was just playing with it. But even at that time, I was married at that time. And my then husband, he just thought I was crazy. Like when I was saying things to him, like, I think I'm getting messages from my dead brother, Jeff. Or when I was saying things like, I think I can go completely off all these pharmas, big pharmas. Or I'm going to totally quit my job and go into dog training. Like that's where it was starting for me. And he was just not having any of it. So a lot of it, I was just doing it very quietly. Mm-hmm. And sort of privately, because it was, you know, you have to move through that resistance of the external world judging you, condemning you, thinking you're crazy. And that's okay. That was okay with me because I grew up as a black sheep in my family. Like I could handle that. But ultimately, when we got divorced, I moved to Maui and I was living there alone. I didn't know anyone. So I had 2 years in Maui to be working with this sort of on my own. So it started getting developed very quickly. I was working with, you know, angels and guides and masters and teachers and loved ones who are very real. They just are non-corporeal. They don't have bodies and they exist at different frequencies or energetic bandwidths, right? Energetic frequencies of light, sound, and consciousness, vibration. So I was starting to learn that, like in the very early days, I had this guide and he would kind of like come through like this winged sort of light that was like yellow, bright light, just fluttering. And I'd be like, what the? And I would hear, I am Bartholomew. And I'd be like, awesome. Like, who are you? Like, what's up? And then gone. And after like a long time, I know within the span of the 2 years, but a long time of this happening, like inconsistently, I'd be like, what's the point? Like, okay, it was cool, but like, what's the point?
Right.
And after that, he really kind of never came back, but I got this, what I call a download. Like my whole reason was to help you to know energy and vibration and light and sound so you could identify. Now take that and start to identify all the other beings, all the other energies. Mm-hmm. So that was like a very early phase of it, you know? Starting to learn from these beings, like the dogs, they would always tell me, you listen to me, you pay attention to me, we'll teach you. I'll teach you. Mm-hmm. So they became my teachers. I just watched. I just paid attention. I just allowed myself to be a student of not knowing, which I think is one of the best things people can do in the early phases. Yeah. Like, you know, we have to clear our cynic and our skeptic and our doubter and be willing to wonder and be willing to not know and be like, okay, I don't know what I don't know, but I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to observe. I'm willing to be a student of the infinite, of the divine, of all that is. And that's how it started.
That's incredible, Lori. And were you finding, because you went to Maui, so you kind of like left, you know, the physical, your physical life behind as it was, and you moved to Maui. And was it sort of more time alone? Was it more time in nature? Was it just being quiet? Like, how did you create space? Because I'm so curious about that part of it, right? Like, I think we're constantly on a treadmill, and we're constantly, our head is full of noise. To like even create space to allow for those messages. How, like, what did that look like for you? Like, when you started to open up and notice all of this, what did that actually, like, what were you doing? You know, what did it look like?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, we don't realize our reality. We don't realize how bombarded we are constantly with energetic debris and noise, technology, sirens, beeping, leaf blowers, TV in the background, you know, on and on and on. And it's interfering with us. I mean, genetically modified foods, I could go on. And I knew what was happening really was that when I went to Maui, it was for multiple reasons. Number one, I knew that the way that I was living wasn't working, and I knew I need to break free from all of that. I also knew that the ancestral, like, messaging lineage that I grew up with was really based in a lot of like insignificance, settling, smallness, unworthiness. I wouldn't have put it in those words at that time, but I was struggling with extreme inferiority. And like, I just knew that that wasn't the truth of who I was. But that's what I was being told, like, settle for everything. Just like my message, the messaging I got from my family was like, stick out those jobs, keep sticking it out. That's why I stuck it out for 20 years. I got to the point I would have rather died. I would have rather died. So, so Maui was like, I had to break free from all of that. But yes, it was the nature. Yes, I knew I needed water because I'm a water girl. I needed to be around water. I needed to be in quiet. Yes, all that. And, you know, it's hard to recreate that for most people, especially 2 years of it is what I did. I mean, I believed that message, leap and the net will appear. I really didn't. I don't advise that. But, you know, because like I was rationing food for my dogs. It was not an easy time. It was definitely what we call it. Like, it was a 2-year dark night of the soul, if you're familiar with that language.
Yes.
But, you know, I lost everything. To come through, to, you know, Phoenix rising from the ashes. But what I will say is that for people who don't think you can do, you know, a kind of 2-year or 1-year hiatus or even 3 months, pick a day on your calendar every day of the week if you can. And just this, you know, turn everything off and go somewhere into nature. And if you can, like, leave the cell phone in the car just for GPS or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, really unplug and give yourself days of silent meditation or walking meditation with the divine. And even if you don't recognize the divine, you know, if you're a scientist, you can refer to it as the quantum field of the infinite consciousness or however you do relate to that, and give yourself those times, because yes, that's absolutely where it starts. You have to really start to unplug from the physical world as we know it, for sure. And I just also say, like, a lot of it happened slowly. Like, I was asking my angels, like, to help me quit smoking. I was asking them to remove my addiction to nicotine. I was asked, and so that I was getting help from the non-physical.
Yeah.
Like, I'll never forget, I had a 6-figure credit card debt, like bad debt. And I was asking for help because I had at that time tried to go, you know, to the traditional route, and there was just no avenues. So I had no other choice really, but to like pray for help. And I was told, like, practice forgiveness. You know, I was given practices to do. And within 2 years, I started getting, I mean, all the debt was gone within 2 years. And I was getting letters from banks saying, you know, this debt is forgiven. Like you, like unheard of stuff. So I think that was part of the journey. Yeah. But to, yeah. So yeah. It's just so many, it's so amazing of how many things are possible for us that we don't realize because our human perspective is so plugged into this physical reality and everything we believe and perceive to be real and absolute. And we are so much more, there is so much more available to us that is so far beyond what we perceive to be absolutely true and right. Like, that's the first thing we have to be willing to, is not only be willing to break free of what we believe, but mindset shifting and also, you know, emotional shifting. We don't give enough credit to that because our reality up until now, we've kind of been taught to suppress and repress emotions. Mm-hmm. And suppressed, repressed emotions lead to disease. Yes. Faulty thinking leads to disease, like the energy of hatred, the energy of revenge, the energy of resentment, all of that, and I could go on, leads to disease, all kinds of disease, disharmony, discontent, unhappiness. It will not serve your greater good, anyone's. On the other hand, the energy of forgiveness will, or gratitude will start paving ways to new potentials. And then the energy of joy, the energy of excitement, the energy of enthusiasm, those will create more of that. Yes. So we don't always work with our emotions and recognize how our emotions are energy and how to utilize that. We have to learn how to do that too on Earth to navigate into the so-called higher realms where we're more fulfilled.
Yes. And I feel like, Lori, there's so much in what you just said that I want to go deeper into, but I feel like would you consider that to now be your role, is to help humans understand that, understand, you know, something you said, and you know, I teach it differently. I teach it in my way, and you're teaching it at another level in your way. But what I say to women, for example, this very real thing of, say, looking for a job, I often say to them, you know, you can order off the menu. You don't have to just like look on LinkedIn and see these are the postings. And therefore, if it's not posted there, it doesn't exist. I'm like, we can order off the menu. There's so much more available to us than what we see with our eyes on the screen or whatever it may be. And it sounds like that's what you're saying at a much deeper level, right? That there is just so much more available to us than we can see. And what we do when we come across a challenge is we say, well, I know because this person said it, that that's an option. And I know because the Google says that's an option, but we don't realize that there's like a myriad of options
infinite options
that we have access to.
And the options are always going to match your frequency. Who you are is what you will see and perceive. So the whole idea is to be able to move beyond the limitations of who you perceive yourself to be what you perceive reality to be. Because who you are at any given point is what you will attract. So even with the example of job searching, and you can apply this to anything. Let's say someone is job searching and their energy is, oh, there's nothing out there. Oh, there's no one's interested in me. No one's going to see my, oh, it's not available. Oh, I can't have, they don't have it what I want. Oh, this city doesn't have it. Oh, this, it could feel the energy of that. That's what you're going to have. Oh, I've looked everywhere. That's energy. And then if you have another energy, like check this out, where you're like, okay, I'm really excited. I'm really looking forward. My dream job is something like this or even better. I get to work outside, or I get to work from my computer from home, or I get this, I get to do that. I get to work with these kinds of people in this kind of environment. I get to wear these kinds of clothes. I get to show up in this way. I'm so excited. This is the kind of thing I'm looking for. This is the kind of thing I want. I feel the excitement. I feel the enthusiasm. I'm sharing that into the field. I'm knowing how the field responds to this kind of energy. I can't wait. Oh my God, it's going to be great. It's going to be fabulous. I don't even know what it is.
Yes. I know. I love it.
We're not trained to work with energy that way. And we don't understand that we can embody that and shift from A, you know, from example A to example B. The whole body language changes everything, but we have to practice and play with it because the unconscious part of us is still sabotaging the unconscious part that says, oh, but yeah, but Google said there's no jobs in this market, or yeah, or whatever it is. You know what I mean?
Yes,
and we
exactly.
have to constantly be recognizing that the external world is not our authority.
The external world is not our authority.
The external rules
I love that.
That have been impressed upon us and enforced upon us through, I'm going to go a little outside the box here if it's okay, but through false authorities in the external world. And the false authority could be, you know, the corporate world that said, you can never have a gap in your resume. Remember? I remember being told that. Oh, never have a gap in your resume. Like, that's a form of control.
Oh, totally.
So yes. that's a false yes. external authority based on yes. collective belief systems. Or, you know, you absolutely are going to die if you don't get something stuck into your body or take something. Like, I'm just challenging the external authorities of what we're told. And a lot of those authorities come through mainstream media, comes through you know, big pharma commercials that stand to profit and gain off of secretly mm-hmm. or covertly manipulating the consciousness of a human to get to control or to dominate, mm-hmm. to profit at their expense. Mm-hmm. So that's the physical world. Mm-hmm. This is an age we're moving in where we get to claim our inner authority. And that doesn't mean we would ever cause harm. Like, that doesn't mean run through a traffic light. No, we don't want to cause harm to ourselves or anyone else.
Yeah.
We're not here to buck authority. We're just here to say what truly is mm-hmm. for my most benevolent best that will not harm me or anyone else, where yes. I am not trying to sabotage another or profit mm-hmm. to their expense or harm, but rather where I am elevating into that which is for the most benevolent best. That authority can only be found
yes.
from within and through our connection with our source, which mm-hmm. again can be labeled as the quantum field or the divine or mm-hmm. God or mother, father, or, you know, spirit or.
Yeah. So Lori, there's something you said around, like when you were talking about this feeling that we can bring ourselves into this feeling, right? And that feeling has a frequency attached to it. And then we see things through a different frame, and then, you know, opportunities come and we can observe them because we are in that frame. But what you said, something that I really wanted to further explore, was this idea of practicing and playing, because I think it's so true. And I feel like I have very much shifted into this over the last year or so. I feel myself spending more time in that enthusiastic, faith-filled sort of energy. I can access it a little bit more easily, and I could stay in it a little bit longer. But you know, this years of programming and you know, there's like, you're tired or whatever it is, and you sink back into it. And when you sink back into it, it feels like you're drowning almost. And so what you said about practicing and playing, I think that's so important. And even when I'm working with women, we talk about these concepts and you get them and you get excited by them and you feel like, oh, I see it and I can feel it. But then we slip back. Yeah. So how can we practice it more, and how can we play with it more?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of ways, but I would say the first thing is literally put yourself in environments, circumstances, situations with people who are already doing it. It's just so important. You cannot, I don't mean to disempower people. I want to empower people because it is all within us. But when you first don't know how, you put yourself around others so you can see and learn. You know, Reiki healing circles, sacred retreats, energy healing circles, crystal singing bowls, sacred dance, you know, ecstatic dance, five rhythms. These are names. You could search these on the internet, where people are doing this. It's not about a festival necessarily. It's about an environment that cultivates the opportunity for you to explore it within yourself. And that allows you a sense of safety to break out of the mold of the reality that you've been living in. Because you don't know how to break out or break through at first. You know, yes, mindset is really important, But we are so much more than mindset. Mindset alone is not enough. It's just not. Because you can do 5 million affirmations and you can write in your journal every day, I'm rich and abundant, I'm rich and prosperous. But if your energetic defaults to it's not really true, or if the unconscious has another, I call this the soul's agenda, part of the soul's agenda. If the soul's agenda is for you to resolve something, it will not allow you to spiritually bypass through an affirmation or a mindset shift. It will only allow you to get so far before it says, no, there's something bigger and I'm not going to let you pass this by. So in order to do that, you need to be around other people who have walked that path before you or who are somehow walking that path so that they can help you, you know, break out of that mold. Yeah. And this is part of the journey on Earth right now. This is part of the next level of our transformational journey on Earth, is that we as a collective humanity, human race, are being required to see that we do need one another. We need one another for our survival. We cannot continue to harm our brothers and sisters on Earth, our earth, you know, our trees, our waters, our animals, and think that it will not create a kickback effect. There is a cause-effect relationship of everything we do. And in order for us to start healing and restoring true harmony in our bodies, in our lives, in our world, we need one another to do that. And we have to start really caring about one another and the whole earth, right? That's part of the major evolutionary shift. Okay, this is so good. Well, when I first started, I would say I was as young as 7. That's a pivotal age when a lot of people start waking up, because I remember being 7 and saying, like, I want to help animals. I just want to help animals. And I remember being told, well, you can't really do that because you won't make any money. So that was like the first imprint that started to affect me. And I had to overcome that belief system. It took me a long time to realize that. But I was from like the age of 13. I remember playing with crystals. I remember talking to animals. I remember hearing them. I remember always being very connected to Earth. I remember like just so many experiences where, you know, somebody back then probably would have thought I was a little, you know, I remember talking to birds and all kinds of stuff, even as young as, you know, my early young, you know, teens. And I was the kid in high school and junior high school that the other kids who didn't know me would call me and ask me for advice. So I was always like a counselor, therapist type of person, like that kind of archetypical pattern. I always knew I was very perceptive. I used to describe myself as really perceptive. And I didn't realize that that was just psychic. Like, I didn't grow up in a psychic family. I didn't grow up with that. So it started back then. But what I will say is, for anybody, these are learned skills. Anybody can learn them. There is enough scientific evidence now that we can all learn these, develop them, and cultivate them. There's a lot of very easy practices that I know I teach in my programs, you know, core principle practices, very easy, accessing different theta brain waves, awakening, you know, this master gland in the center of the brain that's just very calcified for most humans. That there's energy centers in the body, right? We call them chakras and meridians. Those can be really reawakened. There's for people who are wondering about their mission, you know, that's stored at the root chakra. It's also stored dormant in the DNA. I get that these are like out there concepts, but it's very progressive. But it's at the same time, the point of saying them is that we all have access to this within ourselves, and it starts to be awakened in a natural way for us that's organic, that we can handle, like without being too much too fast. As we, you know, kind of walk this path, as we choose it, because we have free will choice. And just say one other piece that's really important, especially as you ask me, like, who am I today, is that the most important path, part of the path, I think, in a way, is self-love, self-nurturing, self-care, you know, recognizing the self as both a human in form and a God embodied. And I don't mean to like push the bounds of that, but that the totality of who we are is so beyond just the limitations of physicality. That the totality of who we are is not just physical, it's not just mental, the mental plane of the thoughts and the belief systems, we have to work with all that. It's not just emotional, the emotional experiences that we feel, and it's not just light, because we are light. We are multidimensional beings, and our energy fields are the size of houses. We're like orbs of light and consciousness. And as we learn to expand into more of that, more of our potential starts to reveal. But in order to do that, we're like healing. We have to heal and resolve those unconscious parts of us that are keeping us small or keeping us in some form of lack or limitation or some form of trauma or emotional pain or grief or shame or suffering. Like all that stuff is true to the human, but it's not the truth of who we are. So self-love then becomes the process. Self-nurturing, self-care, self-forgiveness becomes the process of healing and resolving like all of those issues, whether we feel shame or whether we judge ourselves or judge others or whatever it is, or whether we're carrying a trauma from being somehow bullied or abused, or, you know, we all have all those things. Maybe not, we don't have all of them, but all of us have those things to some degree or another. There's no shame in any of it. We're here to resolve those things so that we can awaken that brilliance and that magnificence that is within us, so that we can remember the divinity that we are, the greatness, the infinite potentials within us, and that the universe in all of its intelligence will reflect to us as we reveal that to ourselves. So self-love is the journey, and that self-love, personal development, like those are my people, the personal development people, the personal development junkies, you know, they've been on a spiritual or personal development path for a long time, because eventually, this I know to be true, all personal development, self-love, self-care, self-nurturing, personal development will lead us into alignment with a path with the divine, with the divinity that we are. So personal development eventually becomes spiritual growth and development as well.
Mm-hmm. And then serving the collective.
Yeah, because here's the thing, Kina, you start to realize, and this is also true, the fastest road to joy mm-hmm. and deep fulfillment is through service.
Yes.
Service and contribution. And that means not to your own harm. You're not meant to be a doormat.
Not overgiving. And yes.
Yes. Right. Yes. Not meant to be constantly overgiving, over-delivering. You're meant to be serving in ways that are good, right, and appropriate for your most benevolent best, right? Mm-hmm. And to the best of others, right? Like that is the fastest road to joy. And I'll just say this other thing, the fastest road to abundance and prosperity of any kind, like whether it's monetary wealth or abundance of happiness, fulfillment, et cetera, the fastest road to abundance is through generosity. Mm-hmm. So the joy of giving provides for the opportunity to grow and to elevate into greater and greater, you know, aspects of self, right?
Yeah, it's so true. You know, Laura, you and I have talked before a little bit about my past. And I remember there was a time in the year that my husband was really ill before he passed away. And we were in the hospital a lot. And I remember the nurses just being so incredible, right? Like we were there constantly and they were rotating. And so we got to know them all over months and months and months. And they were so giving. But for me, it was all about what was happening with us, right? Like they were there. I didn't even think about their lives outside of being at the hospital and like taking care of my husband and what was going on with him. But over time, I started to get to know them and, you know, started to like ask them, can I bring you something to eat or can I bring you a coffee? And I remember feeling like so much more connected to them as people when I started doing that. So it was less than about them being kind to me and them taking care, good care of my husband. But when I really felt it was when I saw them and started to want to give to them, even in my period of need. Like you could say, well, she, like, why would she be thinking about the nurses? Her life is falling apart. Her husband is dying, you know? But yet when I gave to them, it made me feel more whole.
Yes. I love that you shared that. Do you know why that happened for you?
Tell me.
Because just as you said, when you first came in, you were in a trauma state, you and your husband. I mean, you were in survival mode.
Yes.
When someone's in survival mode, they really can't think of anyone else. I mean, it's survival mode. You get that, right? And there's no wrongness in that. You're just trying to survive, just trying to make it through. But because those nurses were so loving towards you and caring and giving, it affected you and changed you.
Yeah.
So that then you could get out of the survival mode at least enough to consider them.
Yes.
They changed you through their caring.
Yes.
Then you reciprocated.
Yes.
In even greater ways, likely through gratitude, through gifts of coffee or food, you know, all the different ways through recognition and acknowledgement. This is exactly how energy works.
Yeah.
It's a great example.
Yeah.
Right? Someone's in a high trauma state. They feel like they have nothing to offer. Someone comes in and offers them care and compassion through the generosity of their hearts. And yes, it was their job.
Yeah.
But they really wouldn't. I mean, we've all had experiences with not so good.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, not so good doctors and nurses.
Yeah,
right? But you were fortunate, right? Mm-hmm. So you had caring people and it affected you positively and energetically you shifted.
Yes.
Without even being fully conscious of how that process was taking place.
Very true. It's so powerful, really. It's so powerful. Lori, I wanted to drill down a little bit on the woman, again, who's listening to this podcast. So a lot of women who I work with and who I know you work with too, we're kind of on a path. Right? They're on a path and they feel like, I know what I'm doing and this is what I'm supposed to be doing and I'm doing my thing and everything's working out. And then, you know, they start to feel some disruption. Sometimes it's like internally, like everything is as it should be, check, check, check. Yet I don't feel fulfilled. I feel dissatisfied. Something isn't right. Is this all there is? I should be grateful. You know, those kinds of feelings. Or it could be things that show up externally in their life, like their partnership no longer feels aligned and doesn't seem to be getting better, or they were climbing the corporate ladder and now they're stuck and they just don't understand, why am I not getting promoted? Why am I not continuing to move up? What would you say to the woman who's listening, who is experiencing some version of that? Like, how would you advise her to move forward?
Yeah. Well, disruption is always an opportunity for growth. So we might see disruption as something that we don't want or don't enjoy. Or as you mentioned, there's some kind of friction or there's some kind of like push-pull rubber band resistance reaction, something along those lines. That's always an opportunity for growth. It always means, this energetic is not aligned anymore and there's something better. So whenever that kind of thing happens, the default in my life, what I do is, okay, based on this friction or this resistance, what are the gifts in this? What am I meant to learn or see or perceive or address to assist and support me in my own growth, my evolution? So I start asking that and inquiring, and I'll ask my own divine team. I'll ask, you know, my source, my inner self, my higher guidance. And I'll continue to ask until I really get clear on that. And then I also will sort of start to not only look for the gifts of it and what I'm meant to learn, but also seek the resolution. Because the resolution is a realignment to some form of energy that feels better, feels more aligned. So it's important to not judge it as wrong or bad. It's important to say, okay, there's an opportunity here for growth.
Yes.
When those things happen, most of the time, I mean, especially if it's a bigger issue, right? If it's not just like a bump in the, bump in the road on the day. It's usually the soul, I call that the soul's agenda. Those things very often will happen around eclipse windows or significant, what we call portals or periods of time in our linear experience on Earth of, you know, experiencing linear time, where the soul is like, I'm not going to let you bypass this. We mentioned this a little bit before. Right. So in those cases, there's some major growth opportunity.
Yes.
So it's up to us to be willing to embrace that. I also call those frequency fences, because if you're vibrating at an energy here where there's some kind of discord or disagreement or upset or disharmony or friction,
yeah,
then that's a vibrational bandwidth that you, okay, it doesn't feel good, right? Some kind of trauma or upset or imbalance. So in order to pass through that bandwidth, right, that energetic bandwidth, you're moving through that state of energy to get to a higher or purer frequency where there is some new form of, ah, I learned, I grew, I resolved, I don't have to address that again. I'm done and complete. I claimed the growth, the gifts of consciousness, the gifts of learning. And now I'm more elevated in some way, and I'm going to have some new experiences that are more harmonious for me, that are based in who I'm truly becoming. So if you can sort of start to see it from that perspective, because what most people do is they go into the pain of it. Oh, this sucks.
Yes,
oh, this is horrible.
Yes,
oh, this is miserable. Oh, and they make it wrong, or they make the other person wrong.
Yes.
Or they may default to some kind of like someone did something wrong to me, victimizer, or some kind of martyr. How dare they do that to me?
Yeah,
how can they do that to me? So they're in the wrongness of it.
Yeah.
And every time you go down a path of wrongness, what happens?
More wrong.
More wrongness.
Mm-hmm.
Because energy that you are will create more of the energy you are. So you don't want to get stuck in the wrongness.
Yeah.
You need to very quickly, as best as you can, find what's right, what's good, how it's helping you, how it's serving you, how it's meant to help you grow. And if you feel that you can't do that, that is why we, that is always the time to call upon some appropriate practitioner
to help you.
Third party mentor, coach, energy worker, healer, intuitive, that you can trust.
Yes.
Or that that person really understands that their role in your life is to be of service to you during that time to help you navigate. Too many times people just don't. They just, so many people, one of the things that they, I think that they make the mistake on is they just sort of like default to, I can figure it out myself. And usually if you're in a really, you know, energetic state of wrongness, you need someone who can see the rightness for you and help you.
Yes, I 100% agree with that. That has definitely been my experience. Yeah, and I think the other mistake people make, or at least it delays that process, is by going to the same people that you've always gone to, right? Like the same people who surround you and asking them for support through it. But it's likely you're just going to get more of the same, right? Like maybe they'll even prop you up and in that wrongness path, like prop you up with like, oh, it's his fault. And I don't know why he's that way. You know what I mean? And it won't allow you to break through. And so that's why I think going to ask for support. Yeah,
totally. You got to get outside of your circle. And I think it's always great to have, you always need to have like, kind of like in your back pocket, some form of a trusted mentor or guide or teacher who really is not in it for themselves when they're working with you. And, you know, maybe for some people it is a therapist. To me, therapy is, I'm not, you know, there's times where it's right, but it's still just the mental plane, just talking. It just will keep cycling and repeating hamster wheel experiences. And that's why I fell in love with energy work, because energy work is what really shifts. Because if you can move, I know how to move energy. Energy is not invisible, non-physical, not to me. So I can literally move energy. And when you move energy and distribute and direct it to where it's meant to be, or however it's meant to serve, or send it back to source, that energy no longer is bogging someone down. So even, for example, something like loneliness. Most people don't believe that loneliness is energy, but it is. So there's a huge amount of people on Earth right now experiencing huge amounts of loneliness because we become like a computer nation.
Yeah.
And they're lonely, or they feel isolated. especially entrepreneurs and solopreneurs, but they don't understand that that's energy that can be shifted. And that doesn't mean to not go and get out and be social and go on a retreat or go in an environment that's going to change. It just means you don't have to live with that energy.
Yes.
And you can substitute loneliness for any other form of experience that you're having. Loneliness, isolation, hopelessness, you know, worry, guilt, all of it. It's all energy. It can be changed. You can be freed and liberated from it. And this is not something that Western medicine knows. Like, I honor Western medicine for its role. If it, you know, if someone has an accident and they need something sutured, yes, or they need something stapled or they need something sewn up or whatever, you know, I understand that role, but that is not the role. They are not schooled in energy and they don't know about that.
Yes.
And energy healing is real and it works and it's powerful and effective and easy and fast and enjoyable. Like, how does it get better than that?
Absolutely.
And the only thing it's not a pill.
That's right.
So it's not like sometimes it works like you get an energy healing the next morning. Like, this happens all the time. The next morning you wake up, you have so much more energy. You feel more optimistic. Wow. Like you even said at the onset, when you talk with me, you always like hang up from our calls and yes, you're like, you feel better. That's yes, energy. That is energy. Yes. But if you're dealing with something really deeply, you know, traumatized, okay, yes, it's not a pill. It's not going to necessarily work overnight.
That's right. That's right.
But progress isn't, you know, it's like progress is not perfection. Progress is progress.
Yes.
And every time you do work with it, you make progress.
Yes. So, yeah. So speaking of working with it, Lori, I would love for you to share how people can learn more about what you do and, you know, the way you work with people and the work that you do. How can people follow you, support your work, and learn more about you?
Yeah. Well, they can certainly find me on my website, which is my name, LORISPAGNA. Mm-hmm. I would love to offer them some gifts. They can get a DNA activation and learn about the dormant DNA, why we activate it, what it's good for, mm-hmm, how they can activate it too. And they'll actually get an activation at lorispagna.com/free gifts/DNA.
Amazing. There's a lot of make sure those links are in the show notes too.
Yeah. They can also learn about crystals, mm-hmm, and working with crystals and the energy of crystals at lorispagna.com/free gifts/crystals.
Okay.
And they can learn about animal communication and telepathy, like amazing things to help animals for the animal lovers.
Okay.
At lorispagna.com/free gifts/animals.
Okay.
And then they can also follow me on my podcast, which mm-hmm is The Awakened Elevated Human. Mm-hmm. And of course, I have a YouTube channel. You can find me there as well by my name, Lori Spagna.
Amazing. Yeah. Thank you, Lori. Well, yeah. I wanted to finish this beautiful conversation with a question that I ask all my guests. And that is, what do you think it means to be all you are?
Oh my gosh. Well, first, I just want to say, I think we're all discovering and revealing that to ourselves. Mm-hmm. But I would say, like, the wholeness and richness of who we truly are is the divine embodied in form, here to express and reveal itself for, you know, through us, that we are magnificent, extraordinary, fabulous beings, mm-hmm, who are made up of love and light and consciousness and infinite potential. And we're reclaiming that now. We're remembering it. And as we, the wholeness of who we are is that, like, the infinite, all that is. And we get to choose and define who we are, mm-hmm, as love, as brilliance, as joy. And then we have to actually be it. Mm-hmm. We have to actually go out and be it, express it, and share it, and claim it. Mm-hmm. So whoever we truly desire to be and however we truly desire to identify ourselves, that is who we are. That is who we are. And we're just beginning to reveal, like, the wholeness of who we are is the infinite, the divine, the joy, the brilliance, the magnificence, the love, and every potential that we are, that feels like it's calling, being called through us, is who we are and who we're meant to be. Like, we're just still learning that, you know, becoming it, embodying it, reclaiming it. So I hope I answered that. I hope
you did. It's so exciting, really. Honestly, like when we can really truly feel that, it's just, it feels exciting, you know, and it feels exciting for all of us, for all of humanity.
Yes. Yeah. Because the future of Earth and humanity, it's not what we're being shown in the physical world right now. We're just seeing the destruction of what is not. Mm-hmm. We're seeing the destruction of what's not meant to be. And that is the systems, the structures, the leaders, the governments, the false authorities who have for too long caused harm and detriment to us. Mm-hmm. But what is being birthed through us, that is what will be. That is the best of what is yet to come. Mm-hmm. That is what we're evolving into, right?
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Lori, for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Kina. It's been a pleasure and a joy and an honor as always.
Thank you for tuning in to today's show. I hope you found inspiration and use this podcast to start stepping into all you are. You can find information that was shared in today's show just below in the show notes. If you love this conversation, please share it with others so they can benefit from it too. You can take a screenshot of this episode and tag me on Instagram, or share a link via text or email to a friend. Let's be clear, we need more women stepping into all they are. So go ahead and share away. And of course, subscribe to the podcast so that you receive the latest episodes every week, and take a quick moment to rate it and leave a review. Thank you so much. Until next time, remember to keep exploring what it means to be all you are.